keeping with the spirit of the afternoon, I'm going to read them down here. Appreciate your flexibility in coming here this afternoon. This time of year, we would expect to see a little more spring-like weather, but we just have to take what Mother Nature can give us. So thankful that you have come here tonight. Please turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. We're going to read verses 9 through 13. Romans 12, verses 9 through 13. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. We are reading from, in this chapter, sort of a summary that Paul is giving of the implications of the gospel in our daily lives. If we understand what the gospel is all about, the concept of being saved by the grace of God through faith, then what does that mean in our daily lives? How is this going to play out in the way that we go through our lives day by day? And verses 9 through 13 is almost a shotgun blast. You know, all the little pellets that come out when you shoot the shotgun? Well, that's what we have here, a lot of little pellets, just boom, here's all these little things that Paul just lumps together and says, in a nutshell, here's how it's going to impact your life. Now, we could devote a whole lesson to each one of these little pellets in this section, but what I'd like for us to do is zero in on verse 11. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. There are two words here that I'd like for us to spend our time on this evening, and those are the words diligence and fervent. The word diligent here, the Greek word, is defined to make haste, to be zealous, active, concerned about something, to push on with something quickly. The word fervent is a translation of a Greek word zeo, which means to well up, to bubble, or to boil. There is a noun form of that word, zestos, which should sound familiar. It means heat or glowing with zeal, and that's the word from which we get our English word zest, zesty. Something that's full of action, it's warm, it's glowing. Other translations, based on these definitions that we've just looked at for these two words, give a rather loose translation of verse 11 in this way. The Living Bible reads, "Never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically." The Common English Bible renders this verse, "Don't hesitate to be enthusiastic. Be on fire in the Spirit as you serve the Lord." Now, I've quoted from those two translations in particular because they both use a word that I think really captures the essence of what this verse is all about. And that's the word enthusiasm or enthusiastic. What Paul is encouraging us to do here is to be enthusiastic in our service to the Lord. So for the next few minutes, I'd like for us to consider the topic of enthusiasm in our service to the Lord. Now let's dive deep into the concept of enthusiasm and what that means. If you go to just a standard English dictionary, how will it define enthusiasm? The Cambridge Dictionary has this definition. Enthusiasm is a feeling of energetic interest in a particular subject or activity and a desire to be involved in it. There are a number of synonyms that we use oftentimes to capture the idea of enthusiasm. Words like eagerness, fervor, passion, or devotion. There are three main elements that are usually involved in the concept of enthusiasm. The first main element is the idea of activity in pursuit of a goal. There's something that has captured our interest. There's something that we're moving toward, and we want to get to that end goal, whatever it might be. And so the activity, the work, the action that is required to reach that goal, in no sense of the word is it a drudgery to us. We don't look at it as some kind of a burden that's been dumped on us, but instead it's something that we look forward to with eagerness. There's a goal there, and we want to achieve that. So there is activity in pursuit of a goal. The second key ingredient to the idea of enthusiasm is the sense of excitement. There's optimism. There's cheerfulness. There's an expectation of success in this endeavor that we have taken on. We take this on with joy, with optimism. We have this goal. We're working toward it. It requires a great deal of effort, but boy, we're excited about it. That's necessary to have enthusiasm. But then there's a third key element involved in the spirit of enthusiasm, and that is perseverance. Now, as you know, anytime you set a goal and you start working toward it, invariably there will be obstacles that get thrown in our path. There are setbacks, there are unforeseen difficulties that we have to navigate in some way. And so part of enthusiasm is, I'm not going to let these things get in my way. I'm going to push through, I'm going to work around, I'm going to deal with whatever the issues are because I have that goal in front of me and I'm going to get it. I'm going to go after this thing and I'm not going to be dissuaded from reaching my goal. So the sense of tenacity, of not being easily discouraged, is implied in the concept of enthusiasm. So anytime you have these three elements that come together, activity in pursuit of a goal, a sense of excitement and perseverance, you're going to have a spirit of enthusiasm. You pick up any of the hundreds of books that have been written through the years on the subject of motivation. And what's one of the key elements they're always going to put near the very top of the list? Enthusiasm. If we're really going to be motivated in whatever course of action we take on in our life, we have to go about it with a sense of enthusiasm. We have to be excited about it. Whether we're selling vacuum cleaners or preparing for our career or running for political office or waging war, whatever the task in front of us, we have to take it on with a sense of enthusiasm if we're going to have any chance of success in what we are trying to do. Henry Ford, of course, was a man who was quite familiar with the concept of hard work and success. And he made this statement one time about enthusiasm. He said, "Enthusiasm is the yeast that makes your hopes shine to the stars. Enthusiasm is the sparkle in your eyes, the swing in your gait, the grip of your hand, the irresistible surge of will and energy to execute your ideas." Whatever it takes to execute your ideas, to reach that goal that's out there in front of you, you have to tackle it with this sense of enthusiasm or you're going to run out of gas. You're not going to be able to finish what you set before you. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm," which is another way of saying you just look at any great thing that somebody has accomplished in their life and you trace the path this person to get there. And you will see a spirit of enthusiasm. They had to be excited about it if they were going to be successful in what they set out to do. Of course, our concern here this afternoon is what the Bible says about enthusiasm and its presence in our life. You take these three elements that we've talked about, a sense of excitement, hard work, and perseverance. When you put all those things together, you really come up with something that closely parallels what the Bible oftentimes describes as faith. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. In this chapter, Paul has been describing the hope of the child of God, which is the resurrection of the dead and the beauties and the glories that lie beyond. That's the goal for which we're striving, right? But notice how Paul wraps up this chapter, verse 58. He says, "Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see the three elements involved there? He talks about the work of the Lord. There is a work that God wants us to do. There's a goal that's out there at the end. But he says also you need to abound in that. That's that sense of eagerness, of enthusiasm about the work that we are doing. It is not a drudgery that the Lord has thrust upon us. It is something that we are excited to do. We're enthused about it. And then, of course, the fact that we have to persevere. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding, even when it's not easy to do so, which in our lives can be quite often. We will not give up. We will not stop. We will not flag in our efforts to do the work of the Lord because we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Look at all the heroes of the Bible. All of the things that they accomplished, all the travails that they went through in their lives. And you'll see in every one of these great heroes a sense of enthusiasm in what they were doing. We think, for example, of Caleb and Joshua, the two spies who came back from spying out the land. Their fellow spies said, "Yeah, it's a good land, but we can't do it. There are too many obstacles here, and we've been led out here on a fool's errand. It won't work." But Caleb and Joshua said, "No, absolutely, we can do it." In fact, I like the words that Caleb used in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30. He said, in contrast to the bad report, the 10 spies, he said, "We are well able to take the land." Not just like the little engine, I think I can. No, we can do this. We have the Lord on our side. He has promised us this glorious land. Let's go in and take it. Let's do this thing. Because with the Lord on our side, we are well able to do it. There's enthusiasm in those words. Look at David, the shepherd boy. As he came upon the armies of Israel, faced off against the Philistines, and he saw Goliath come out and taunt the armies of the living God, and the Israelites just fled in terror away from him. And David was perplexed. How can God's people react this way to this uncircumcised Philistine? And so you know how the story went. Eventually, David came to Saul and said, and I quote, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. I will go and fight with this Philistine." Now, we could look at that and say, that's a little brash for a young man, isn't it? And maybe it was. But David knew his skills. He knew his capabilities. He knew what he had accomplished in the past with the Lord's help in facing the lion and the bear. And so he had every confidence in the world to think that the Lord would be with him in this task. "Let no man's heart fail because of him. I'll go fight him. If nobody else will do it, I'll do it." Now that's enthusiasm. That's a man who knows what work needs to be done and is willing to take on the task, and nothing is going to stand in his way of finishing the job. Look at the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians. How many times does Paul, in those four little chapters, talk about joy or rejoicing? Now, at the same time, he is realistic about the struggles that he is personally having to deal with, the struggles that the Philippians may have to deal with. But the sense of joy, of unrestrained enthusiasm, just oozes out of the pages of that little letter. Because Paul is excited about the faith that he is preaching. He is excited about the hope that is before him. He's excited about the prospects of the gospel and all the nooks and crannies of the Roman Empire that it has spread to this point in time. And how much further it can spread. And he knows what a great work is being accomplished. He's enthusiastic about the work that is before him, that he's involved in. You flip the card over, though, and you can see a lack of enthusiasm being characteristic in the lives of those who fail. Larry has been guiding us through a study of the Israelites in the wilderness, and the sorry attitude that they had as they faced the obstacles that were before them. God had given them this great promise of the promised land, something that they were gradually working their way toward. But over and over and over again, these people had a pessimistic, complaining attitude about that mission. There was no enthusiasm in these folks. All they saw was misery and deprivation and hardship and agitation, and they had no enthusiasm for the mission. Is it any surprise that they ultimately failed? And so you've got the children of Israel complaining and murmuring and griping about all their problems in the wilderness on the one hand, and you've got Caleb and Joshua saying, we are well able to take it. We can do this. And I simply ask you, which one of those two camps do you want to be in? Which one of those two types of people do you want to be numbered with? Mathematically, the far greater crowd was the complaining group, right? Joshua and Caleb were outnumbered severely. And let's be realistic. Isn't that the odds today? It is so much easier for us to focus on the negative, to focus on the things that are bad, to focus on the shortcomings and the deprivation, the hardship and the adversity and all these negatives in our life. And then to the point that we obsess with that and we lose our enthusiasm for what we're doing. The challenge for us then is to maintain, in spite of all those hardships, the spirit of enthusiasm that Joshua and Caleb and David and Paul had. And that's what we need to focus on. That's what we need to, every morning when we wake up, we need to stop and think, how am I going to tackle this day? What is going to be my spirit? What is going to be my attitude in taking on whatever challenges confront me in this day? Am I going to do it in a spirit of bitterness and complaining? Or am I going to do it with a spirit of excitement, of eagerness, of enthusiasm for the day of life that the Lord has given me? You know, the greatest need among God's people today is enthusiasm. We need knowledge. We need one another. We need God's word. But we need enthusiasm. And nobody can open my skull and pour enthusiasm in it. It doesn't work that way. That's something that has to be generated from within. Each one of us have to decide that we're going to be enthusiastic about this life that God has given us. Think of all the different things or avenues in our personal lives in which we need enthusiasm. What about studying God's Word? Is that important? Should we be doing that on a daily basis? I think we'd all answer yes. Are we doing it? More importantly, are we doing it with enthusiasm? Is it something that we really, truly look forward to as an important part of each day? Studying God's Word is something that ought to be part of our enthusiasm factor, if for no other reason, as the book of Proverbs says, it's like digging for jewels or buried treasure. Would you be excited if you knew there was something just a few spades down? If you just keep digging, you'd hit that funk, that treasure chest. You get excited about that. Think of the treasure that's buried in this book that you haven't discovered yet. Get excited about that. And read your Bible with that sense of anticipation of what you're going to discover. Our prayers should be prayed to God with a sense of enthusiasm for what we're doing. Stop and think about the significance of that opportunity. The Creator of the heavens and the earth, my Creator, has deigned to open His ears to listen to my prayers and petitions. And He's promised to listen. Now, He has not told me that He's some kind of an ATM machine that's just going to give me whatever I want. But He said, I will listen. And especially when I'm hurting, when I'm struggling, when I'm dealing with some kind of hardship in my life, that's when God's ear is really tuned to my prayer. Do we pray with a sense of enthusiasm, believing that God is on the other side, listening to the thoughts and the petitions that we are laying at His feet. What about our efforts to overcome bad habits and addictions in our lives? Now, let's be honest. Don't we all have some? Some of us maybe more than others. But we all have weaknesses, flaws, character defects that we struggle with. They drag us down. They hurt our relationships with other people. They poison our lives. And we know we've got to deal with these things somehow. You know, the problem is oftentimes in dealing with these personal failures, we tend to allow them to drag us down. Like an anchor that we're holding on to, it just takes us to the bottom. We can't seem to struggle to get up to catch our breath. Shouldn't there be a sense of enthusiasm about that? Not that we have these issues or personal weaknesses, but that with the Lord's help, I can conquer these things. There is a way out of this. I can improve my life. I can be a better person, the kind of person that I want to be, that God wants me to be. Now, it's not going to happen overnight, but it will happen with God's help. So I need to attack these problems and these weaknesses in my life with an attitude of enthusiasm. Sharing my faith with other people, likewise, should be something that I take on with a sense of excitement. We have the Word of God in our hands, and there are people all around us who are struggling in their lives to find some kind of meaning, some kind of purpose in their life, and they're not finding it. We have the message right here. Should we not be enthused about getting this message to them in all the multiple ways that are available to us to do that? In our jobs as fathers and mothers, raising our children, creating happy families. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, that's not easy. In fact, some days you wonder, is it even worth it? Well, the short answer to that question is, of course it's worth it. That's how the human race sustains itself. And who is better qualified to raise, create happy families than the people of God? So if we truly have built our lives upon the message that God has given us in His book, should we not approach all the frustrations and the hardships and the difficulties of raising a family with an attitude of enthusiasm? Looking forward to the new adults that someday we're going to be responsible for bringing into this world. And then we could talk about our jobs, our careers. We could talk about our relationships with our neighbors. And we can go on and on. There are just so many different areas of our lives in which we need to think about the attitude with which we approach these things. There are so many pressures that we feel from all these different angles in life, that if we're not careful, we can allow these things to beat us down, drive us into the ground. But it is the enthusiasm of a strong faith that will allow us to be strong in the face of those hardships and persevere on to the end of the goal. And let's make an application right now to ourselves as a congregation. I know it's very easy for us to come to a rather large building like this. We're few in number. And you walk away thinking, we're just not accomplishing very much. Well, how do you know that? You know, it's not too many years ago that the kind of weather system we had last night would have pretty much confined all of us to our homes. We would have had no opportunity to come together today with the kind of extreme temperatures and the snow that we got last night. But now here we are with the benefit of a variety of modern technologies that have allowed us to get out of our homes and come here, though we be few in number, and to worship God. Is that worth anything to us? Isn't that something to be excited about? That the fact that we live in a free land that allows us to openly come together like this and talk about God and share our faith and even share our faith with other people. without being hauled off to jail. That ought to be something that gives us a great sense of excitement. But then that raises finally the question, okay, enthusiasm is important, but how in the world can we develop a sense of enthusiasm in our work? Now, this is one place where, ironically, the English word is a great help to us in sort of connecting the dots. If you've never done a study of the English word enthusiasm, I encourage you to do so sometime. You'll find that it comes from two Greek words, en and theos, in God. The idea being that the one who has enthusiasm is the one in whom God dwells. In fact, dictionaries will define this word, or the etymology of the word, as having God within, or possessed of God. Have you ever thought about that? What does it mean to be enthused? It means you have God inside of you. And isn't that something to be excited about? Look at some passages here that convey this idea. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 23, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Now let the impact of those words sink in. If we love God and Christ, and we strive to keep his word, then Jesus says, we will come to him and make our home with him. We're going to welcome ourselves into your life. God and Christ live within you if you're turning your life over to them. And there's going to be God within. There's going to be this spirit of enthusiasm. Look at Colossians 1, verse 27. Paul writes, Christ in you, the hope of glory. In what sense does Christ live in us? It's not some kind of a magical hocus-pocus thing that, you know, like a spirit or a demon comes in, just takes over, and I no longer have any free will. That's not what Paul is saying here. The idea is the closer we get to Christ, the more that we understand and reflect upon and make his word, his life, his message part of our life, we internalize that, we are, in some abstract sense, letting Christ reside in us. Christ lives in us. And that, in turn, is going to display itself in the way that we live our lives, the way that we look out upon the world around us and the people around us. There will be that sense of enthusiasm, God in us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. You were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Our bodies are temples of God. God dwells in each one of us. Does our life show that? Are we really conscious of the fact that God lives in us in some way? And in fact, God made that happen, as he says, at great price to himself. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which I might add is a spirit of enthusiasm about who we are, about our relationship with God, our relationship to our brethren, our relationship to the world round about us. Everything we do and say and think in this life should be motivated by this spirit of enthusiasm. Look in Hebrews chapter 12. We'll close this thought out. Hebrews chapter 12, we'll begin reading in verse 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This text does not use the word enthusiasm, but you can just see it all over the words here. In this description of Jesus Christ and the mission that he came to accomplish. Was it easy for him to go through this life? And all the adversity and the ridicule and the mockery that was heaped upon him, it wasn't easy at all. And especially when it came to the end and he had to face the cruelty of death itself, and not just any death, but one of the most gruesome forms of death that was known to ancient man. And yet, in all of that, what does the writer say? He despised the shame. This is perseverance. This is a sense of intensity of desire, of excitement, of optimism. I am going to finish this goal. I'm going to complete this. I'm going to accomplish what I set out to accomplish. Now, sometimes enthusiasm, as we can see in the story of Jesus, may lead us through the valley of tears. It's not always fun and games. But through it all, if we approach life the same way that Jesus our Savior did, we can have deep down inside this optimism that it's all going to be worthwhile someday. And we can look at life with all of its darkness and all of its gloom and all of its hardships, and we can smile because we know where we're going, how it's all going to end up. If you're here this evening and you're missing that sense of enthusiasm in your life, you frankly don't have in your life, in your heart, what it takes to face life with optimism and good cheer, we encourage you to make your life right with the Lord, to take advantage of the offer of salvation that He's made available to us, to you, through His Word. If you need to respond this evening, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing the invitation song.